You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Every single day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m., we are the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons on the powerhouse News Talk station, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, I want to bring on a friend of mine. So the guy who's about to come on the air with us, somebody who I consider to be a personal friend, solid guy. He literally was a senior policy advisor to former Governor Bob Riley, was a chief legal counsel to Governor Ivey, served with me in the Alabama State Senate, is now back in private practice, and is a fellow, a senior fellow with the Alabama Policy Institute, my friend Brian Taylor, who happens to also be a JAG officer and served in Iraq and has a unique perspective on the General Milley situation. So, hey, Brian, glad you're on the phone. Thanks for calling in to Right Side Radio today, man.
Hey, Phil, good to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Good to hear from you, Phil.
Well, appreciate your time. And listen, you wrote a pretty solid piece just a few days ago. I think it came out, Friday? And the piece was put out by the Alabama Policy Institute, and it's called In America, the People Are in Charge. And you addressed the issues of General Milley and his calls to, you know, potential calls to China, questions about whether or not he centered himself as being one who was usurping civilian authority. And then you addressed it from a JAG perspective, which I found really interesting because I needed that. So give us a quick breakdown of what you see as a JAG officer.
Yeah, sure. First of all, let me say, you know, everybody obviously is innocent until proven guilty. And
right.
And that goes for General Milley as just as much as it does anyone else. And I'm well aware that the charges that we're aware of right now or the allegations are just that. And, you know, we don't know at this point whether they are the sensational allegations of Bob Woodward and Robert Costa or if there's more meat, to the charges. But with that said, you know, the interesting thing about this is the left-wing media, the mainstream media, really lost their marbles over the incident last year when General Milley was seen walking across Lafayette Square with President Trump in the middle of a racial justice protest because they thought that symbolized or somehow represented an inappropriate display of the military with respect to domestic issues. And politics, the military showing themselves in politics. And then now you have these accusations or allegations that were leveled last week, and suddenly the mainstream media seems to be using this as, they seem to be treating General Milley as a hero and using this as a way to knock Donald Trump down a few notches and you know, call him crazy, because that's what apparently Nancy Pelosi said, and General Milley agreed on a phone call after the January 6th rally turned riot. And so when you look at the conduct of General Milley, you have to look at it from the perspective of what was he really doing as a military official, not just the perception, but what actually occurred here. And so there are a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered, but from a military legal perspective, I laid out in the column, Phil, at least three charges that could be brought against any military officer who violates the Uniform Code of Military Justice, those particular articles. And we've already got, you know, members of Congress and other folks, commentators on the right, are demanding that he either be fired or court-martialed. And so that raises the question, could he be court-martialed? And I lay out three potential charges, again, based just on what we know from the book. The first one would be Article 88, contempt towards officials. There was a phone call reportedly between Nancy Pelosi and General Milley, where they discussed whether or not the president was, quote, crazy. And so the question under Article 88 would be, did the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff use contemptuous words towards the president? That's expressly illegal under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Article 94. 4 involves mutiny or sedition. There was a charge in the book that General Milley countermanded or directed other senior military officers not to take any orders from President Trump without his direct involvement. And we don't know at this stage whether he actually sought to countermand potential orders from the president, which would have been illegal, mutiny or sedition, or whether he was just doing what his office now says, which was sort of a run-of-the-mill going right. over the existing policies and procedures with those senior military officers.
All right.
And then third, you know, there's espionages in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And one could argue that under the elements of that crime in the UCMJ, calling a foreign government, calling his counterpart, a senior top general in China, and advising him that the United States has no plans to attack, and that he would call and provide advance notice if there ever were an attack, that could meet the elements of a charge for espionage if they were ever brought.
Let me jump in.
Court-martial is probably very unlikely.
Hey Brian, let me jump in real quick and just ask you this, because
Congress, at the end of this.
Hey Brian, let me jump in real quick and just ask you real quick. So you and I both have personal military experience. You, of course, as a JAG officer, me as a line officer, and I've had to initiate what we call 15-6 investigations myself. I've also served as the investigating officer myself on 15-6 investigations. So is that the next step here? I mean, is it literally something that could happen that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs himself could be subject to a 15-6 investigation?
Well, it's a great question. It would be highly unusual. Usually it's the superior officer, as you know, as a former commander, Phil, it's the commander who directs a 15-6 investigation to be initiated. 15-6 referring to Army Regulation 15-6, which is just a generic, it's not a criminal investigation. It's just an investigation that asks, hey, what happened, and tries to get to the bottom of it. In this case, it would probably have to be the Secretary of Defense that ordered a 15-6 investigation, and it's not clear at this point whether that's going to be done.
Well, so let's say it begins to proceed in this fashion, and I don't want to catch you up in too many hypotheticals, but let's just say, for instance, that it does proceed and that some form of an investigation is launched. Now, he would have rights like anybody else in a civilian court not to incriminate himself. He would be given his rights for representation of counsel,
sure.
And he could waive counsel if he wanted to. But for the most part, he would be allowed to have an attorney present or choose not to speak at all. Am I correct?
You are. Everyone on active duty military is entitled to have a JAG officer appointed for their defense. I suspect that at this level, he would probably hire. And maybe has already hired, I don't know, but has already hired a very high-powered civilian counsel. Certainly, prior to testifying before Congress, you can imagine that he has talked to lawyers about what he can say and what he should not say when he testifies before Congress at the end of this month. So that will be very interesting to watch.
It will be interesting to
see if he's trying to avoid anything that could trip him up with the UCMJ.
So here's my question for you. Let's say, for instance, that you wound up finding yourself assigned to the legal counsel for General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Would you be advising him to even go speak to Congress at this point, or would you also be advising him to lawyer up, so to speak, and maintain that level of legal accountability?
Well, that's a great question. I think it depends on what his side of the story is. For example, what we don't know at this point is, was this a regular thing for the two top generals of the country to conduct sort of this diplomacy for purposes of, I think what his office has called strategic stability? Was it commonplace? Did he have a weekly call with with his Chinese counterpart? And if so, was this just part of his ordinary duties? If it was, and that's what he's going to explain to Congress, then as his counsel, I'd probably say, that's okay. But if this was a very unusual call and it was prefaced by the expression of concerns about the president's mental state, as the book reports, that begins to look a lot more curious and suspicious. And I'd have to advise him to be very careful.
Well, so let me ask you this. I don't know if you heard it. Before you came on the air, we had Casey Wardinsky, who's running for Congress for Mo Brooks' seat in North Alabama. He is a former Assistant Secretary of the Army, a retired 06 colonel himself, but he was Assistant Secretary of the Army and worked with Milley personally, and he said that he personally witnessed instances in which Milley, in his opinion, subverted civilian control of the military by going outside of the bounds of his chain of command and also changing things that were being directed by the civilian authorities over him. And I would ascribe all of that to what we would call circumstantial evidence, but are you allowed to build what the law would call a pattern and practice of behavior?
Well, you know, there are rules of evidence that apply, and as you know, as a lawyer, we're limited on being able to prove or introduce evidence of conduct in conformity with the alleged charges for the purpose of proving those charges. But certainly that other conduct could be the subject of depositions and possibly, for example, congressional testimony, which could then be used later if he were untruthful or incomplete in his answers, could trip him up and possibly result in more criminal trouble for perjury or giving a false official statement. You know, I think the thing you just mentioned, Phil, about going outside, going beyond the ordinary military power, taking civilian political authority for himself. If that's the case, what I argued in my column was that's even more of a concern than the military legal issues. The UCMJ issues would be a concern for General Milley, but the concern for us is whether or not a military officer subverted civilian control of the military, which is, as you know, is a fundamental tenet of constitutional our constitutional framework.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't understand is the Constitution really only works because generally the people that we entrust with great power choose to follow it.
Outstanding. Yeah.
And when they don't, they generally will at least choose to adhere to whatever a court says at the end of the day. But when you start talking about politics at this level and you start talking about military and civilian control of authority and power, it really begins to bring to light how fragile our constitutional order is. And, you know, what if General Milley were simply to dismiss the constitutional framework of civilian control? Who would hold him accountable? And the answer is, we the people should be holding all of our officials accountable through our elected representatives, and that would be our folks in Congress and the President of the United States.
I think that's well put, and I think that if it goes too far down that line, it becomes what would otherwise be known as a military coup because they've subverted authority and taken it for themselves. But hey, Brian Taylor, listen, we're up against a break, but I really appreciate you. You've been a friend for years, but you're also really, really good at what you do. And I'm glad we've got you as a senior fellow at the Alabama Policy Institute, especially with your extreme background in state government and the military. So, folks, that's
my
friend Brian Taylor.
Enjoy working with you, and I'm so happy for you and your radio show. I hear it's going great, so keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Take care. All right, folks, that was Brian Taylor, former state senator, former senior advisor to Governor Riley, former legal counsel to Governor Ivey, and a senior-level JAG officer in the military with experience in Iraq, giving us the perspective of what does it mean for General Milley. And I'm going to come back and unpack a little bit more of that when we get back, because it is an interesting dynamic that we're in right now. Never seen this before in my time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.